episode 256, X-Men First Class Movie Review. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I am Ben DiBono, and we are back.
Back. And this episode is all about the old X-Men movie.
Yeah.
The last one, I should say. X-Men First Class came out in 2001. We actually uploaded to our Sci-Fi Christian YouTube page a video of us reviewing this movie.
Oh, I thought you weren't going to tip them off.
Way back in, we uploaded on June 3rd, 2011.
And right that's after what, that came out.
And that's what this episode's all about. So
it's not so much what the episode's about. That's what the episode is.
Yeah, we're basically just going to take the audio from that video and put it here for your listening pleasure.
Because if the episode was about that video,
that could be even better.
that could be something else.
So we do have an X-Men episode coming up in a... Actually, I think we'll be recording that next. And so you'll talk a little bit about your expectations for Days of Future Past. But since we're here talking about First Class, you loved First Class.
Oh, yes. Great movie. In fact, we'll see where it ranks. But
well,
it's,
when let's it's, be honest. It's your number one. It has to be your number one X-Men movie.
Well, yeah. I meant more when we get into the top 25 superhero movies next week.
Interesting.
Or
yeah.
20 or whatever number we decide.
But this is your number one X-Men movie.
Oh, it's not even close.
Me too. Without a doubt.
Yeah.
This is the best one. And so... I just rewatched it actually just on Sunday in preparation for our X-Men episode we're doing, and still really good. I hadn't seen it actually since the movie theater with you back then, so I still felt drawn into the story. Really liked it, liked the characters, liked the 60s setting. What do you remember from it? When's the last time you saw it?
Oh, it's been a while. But yeah, I've watched it a couple times on Blu-ray.
I liked a lot of even the colors they use in the movie. It was just interesting what the director did. Unfortunately, he's not going to be around for Days of Future Past, but still good. And I learned something in some of the special features. Did you know Matthew Vaughn, who was the director of First Class, was originally set to be the director of X3?
I didn't.
The Last Stand?
Oh, man.
And he bailed pretty much at the last minute. Pre-production had already started. And then that's why they brought Brett Ratner
in. Thank goodness he was available.
They brought him in because...
Wait, isn't this more material for our X-Men episode?
I mean, maybe. Are we going to talk about that?
Well, we are talking about X-Men.
So now looking back, all these years have passed. 3 whole years.
3 years.
What would you now give First Class as a rating, 1 to 5?
Probably still 4.5, 5, somewhere in there.
I'd still give it a 5. Yeah. Great movie. All right. So, without further ado, let's flash back to June, I'm guessing, or May. I can't remember exactly what day we recorded this, but let's just say June 3rd, 2011, Ben DiBono, Matt Anderson, reviewing X-Men First Class. Here you go.
I'm Matt Anderson.
And I am Ben DiBono. And today, Matt, we are looking at a movie that I have been looking forward to for a long time. X-Men First Class.
I have been looking forward to it as well. And, you know, we've talked about this on the show. At first I thought, it'll probably be okay. And then the more trailers I saw, the more I thought, this is going to be awesome.
Totally agree. I am not a huge X-Men fan. I kind of enjoyed the other movies. Wasn't a huge fan of them. You know, I saw them once, they're forgettable.
Yeah.
But then when the first trailer came out, and it was, you know, before he was Magneto, he was Eric, before he was Professor X, that trailer totally grabbed me, and I've been looking forward to this movie big time ever since.
And we talked about this, me and you, I don't know if we ever said it live, but there was rumors or even plans of making X-Men Origins Magneto movie.
Yeah.
And so when I started to see trailers for this, I quickly realized they might have used part of the script for this, the First Class, and it was awesome.
It was. And I think that after seeing the movie, they probably did use part of that. Cause it, you know, it wasn't as Magneto heavy as some people were making it out to be, but it definitely focused on him quite a bit.
Definitely. I mean, this review is going to be spoiler-filled, is that correct?
Absolutely.
So we're going to talk about everything.
Yes.
So what I was going to say is the movie opened and closed with Magneto, making him the protagonist, essentially.
Totally.
So,
initial reaction before we get into the details.
Okay. Well, I went in there thinking I would give it a 5.
Yep.
And I mean, I'm on the fence, 4.5, 5. I'm going to say 4.5.
and I'll explain it why later.
Okay.
But I really, really liked it.
My initial reaction is that this movie has restored my faith in superhero movies. It is the fourth superhero movie that I would give a perfect 5-star rating to.
Perfect 5?
Yes.
Can we just talk about why I didn't give it a 4.5 or do what I go plot by plot?
We can get into details, but go ahead and give me the reason.
There was something that wasn't quite pushing me to the 5, like the perfect, I loved it.
Yep.
And I think it was that some of the extra characters, you know, some of the other people that made up the X-Men of this time period, I couldn't connect with them as well. And so because I couldn't get behind all of the characters that they were raising up as important, I don't know, 4.5. I couldn't go all the way to perfect, but it was, I don't want to take anything away from it. It was great.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with your critique. However, I would say that's going to be a problem in any X-Men movie just because of the sheer volume of characters. And the reason that I was thinking about that a little bit, and the reason I didn't take anything away from the movie for it is because this movie handled that problem so much better than any of the other movies.
Can you explain a little bit?
I just felt like, especially X-Men, X2, you know, X3, they kept adding more and more characters, and it just seemed like everybody was getting lost in the shuffle. Here, I felt like, yeah, we had a couple characters that weren't as well developed, but it didn't bother me because the focus on a few characters was so good, whereas in the other ones, it just felt like, you know, we're kind of trying to make these guys the main characters, and we're also kind of trying to balance these side characters, and it just didn't quite work. This one, I felt like they said, we are going to focus on these characters. There's a few other side characters who might get left behind, but because the focus on those main characters was so good, it didn't bother me.
Here's something else that held me back just a little bit.
Okay.
And now, I know this is a movie continuity, and we don't have to worry about Marvel history and the comic book continuity, but there were some differences that were glaring to me as a longtime comic book fan that just took me out of it just a tiny, tiny bit.
Such as?
So, for example, Maura McTaggart is Irish or Scottish in the comics. Not a big deal, but definitely not a CIA agent. Yeah. They just want the username. Emma Frost, she is more... She has an accent, which is weird because, you know, we read it, we don't actually hear it.
Right.
But her voice was not right to me.
Yeah.
She wasn't as strong of a character as she should have been telepathic-wise. Even in that first scene where Maura McTaggart sees her through the crack in the door, Emma Frost would have been able to sense her immediately. There's no way she would have been able to sneak up on her.
Yeah.
So that held me back a little bit. Like I said, you might not be bothered by this because you...
Well, I've read a few X-Men graphic novels, but I'm obviously not as big a fan of the comics as you are.
I like the way that they are really trying to keep with continuity with the other movies, even though that really wasn't important to me.
Out the other movies.
Yeah, but
start over.
But some of the aging-wise of the, I know they're just doing it in the movie continuity. And I know I shouldn't get hung up on this, but the ages of some of the characters just was not correct.
Yeah, so, but you gotta. I mean, it's an adaptation.
I know.
It's not supposed to be word for word.
That's why I'm saying I didn't take a lot of points off. There's just few things that just I felt were holding me back. And you know, I think everybody knows between the two of us, I have a more comic book background. Sure. So, anyways,
but we've already talked about off the show, and we are going to talk about this on the show.
Yeah.
The comic continuity is kind of a mess.
I know.
So even hearing that, I go, okay, I mean, maybe they could have done it a little different. It doesn't bother me in the least.
But for the sake of the movie product being good, I'm willing to overlook some of those things. I think 4.5 is pretty good.
Absolutely.
Did you give it a 5?
5.
Wow.
And I was expecting 4.5. Yeah. I was expecting a great movie, and it exceeded my expectations. I loved it. A couple things I really enjoyed. So if we're done nitpicking.
I'm done nitpicking.
Okay, yeah, so that's all the bad stuff in the movie.
Yeah.
Here's what was great. The relationship between Professor X and Magneto. Oh my gosh.
It was awesome.
That was amazing.
Yeah. Especially the end scene after it. Oh, when they explained, I mean, of course you know Professor X is going to end up in a wheelchair eventually. Yep. But did you hear me say something out loud when he got shot? Sort of. I was like, oh my gosh. It really caught me off guard. I imagined they would do more first class movies and maybe we wouldn't get to his paralyzation in this one, but
yeah.
And then Magneto's reaction immediately was perfect for their relationship.
Totally. The character development was flawless in this movie, at least for the main characters. We mentioned some of the side characters, not so much. But, you know, for Magneto, this balance between rage and wanting to do the right thing. And he's a sympathetic character in this movie.
Yes, hugely.
He winds up the villain, you know, kind of setting him up for the next movie as a villain. But, man, is he a sympathetic character.
Yeah, definitely.
But I will tell you whose character development benefited the most in this movie compared to the others. Mystique.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. She was such a flat character in the other movie.
Yeah.
She was nothing. She was a henchman who could shapeshift.
Yes.
This movie, she is a fully developed character, and she was one of the best characters in the movie.
Oh, easily. Yeah, I mean, you can see why she made the choice, and even with Professor X telling her, go join Eric.
Yeah.
But still, you could see that relationship between Charles and Raven.
Yeah.
It was great.
And I knew Mystique was going to be in the movie, but just based on the previous movies, I wasn't expecting anything from her. I was blown away by the writing, by the actress's performance. And the acting, by the way, across the board was wonderful.
It was good.
Especially James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender.
Yeah, I know who he is, but I think that guy's going to be a star.
I think so. He was terrific.
I would want to watch a whole movie just about him going around doing whatever.
You know, during the intro, where kind of the first 5-10 minutes where they're showing Magneto as a kid and Professor X as a kid, I could have watched a movie just of that because it was so intriguing watching them as children.
Okay, so we knew it was going to be set in the past.
Yep.
I loved the 60s. What did you think?
It was great. I wish I would have done more with it.
And even some of the settings that they chose, and even some of the video style, what they did graphically with the movie, was what they did in the 60s for movies.
Matthew Vaughn did a terrific job directing this. It was well edited, extremely well directed. Did you know he was originally slated to direct X3?
No, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Wow. X3, my least favorite of all X-Men movies.
I say thankfully he didn't get that job, because had he done that, it would have kind of kept the old continuity going. I'd say throw out the old series. This is where we needed to go.
Let me give it another good point in this movie. Kevin Bacon.
Oh my gosh.
Who would have thought?
Sebastian Shaw.
He was awesome in this role.
He was. And I've heard people complaining about Sebastian Shaw and Kevin Bacon. I don't get it. I loved him as a villain.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah.
Really great. So I know you haven't watched Mad Men. Janet Ray Jones is on Mad Men. What did you think about her as Emma Frost?
You know, Emma Frost was, if I had to take one of those side characters who was maybe a bit more disappointing, probably her. I wasn't, like, bothered by it, but they obviously didn't do a lot with her. She kind of got forgotten in the last third of the movie.
She did. And then they used her for the big ending scene.
They did.
But you're right. After she got arrested.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why I put that in quotes. Because she was clearly arrested.
She was arrested.
They basically he moved on. Sebastian Shaw chose Angel as his new girl, it looked like, and they didn't even bring up, he didn't even try to save her.
Yeah, she wasn't a negative in the movie for me, but she didn't really add a ton to it either.
They really didn't talk about the Hellfire Club, but that is,
right,
that is his superhero villain group.
Yes.
But anyway.
Yeah. One thing I loved about the movie that's probably going to be a bit controversial.
Okay.
I loved that Wolverine was not a main character.
Yeah.
He was in it for one scene.
You know, I had suspected, and I didn't know for sure, but I suspected he might make some sort of cameo, and that's exactly what we saw.
His cameo was great.
Yeah, his cameo was perfect. Like, it was 10 seconds long. They even left the camera on him a little long just to make it worth the fact that he came in to shoot his scene, but yeah, that was good.
What I realized watching this movie as I was thinking about it is, number one, first, I did not miss him one bit.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Logan is an interesting character, but he is by far not the best character in the X-Men universe. And it was such a stronger movie without forcing him to be the main character. I say keep him out of the movies for as long as possible. Logan should not be the main character in the X-Men movies.
So, Ben, they were traveling all over the globe in this movie.
They were.
And they used a lot of subtitles, which I actually really appreciated, because when they take out subtitles, it's like they're dumbing it down for an audience that doesn't want to read. So the fact that they kept subtitles in throughout the whole movie,
I really enjoyed that too.
Not every scene, obviously.
No,
you haven't seen
it. But all the foreign language scenes.
Yeah, all the foreign language scenes, subtitles.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than them speaking English with a weird accent. This is really in a foreign language, but for all you dumb Americans, we're gonna put it in English for you. Love that they didn't do that.
So did you like how they were transversing the globe?
I did. And you want me to talk about your globe? This is a very lovely globe.
Let's put it back.
I'll tell you one other thing I loved about the movie. The soundtrack.
Yes.
The music was phenomenal in this film.
To me, it was good, but it didn't really stick out to me. But sometimes people say, if you don't really notice it, that makes it all the better.
I want to go get the soundtrack. I loved it.
Actually, I left there singing the soundtrack of Tron in my head. I don't know how that happened, but I have that song in my head right now.
Yeah, so I don't know what else I have to say. I love the movie. It was phenomenal.
Let me ask, I'm just going to name off some characters. You tell me your initial reaction about them.
Okay.
Beast.
Really good. Really love the actor who played Beast.
Okay.
Thoroughly enjoyed his character.
I liked how they explained his further mutation.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that maybe they would tie it in to the fact that he was messing with Mystique's blood.
Yeah.
And because they're both blue.
Yeah.
But they did not touch on that at all.
No. I think it was maybe implied a little bit.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. Banshee.
Cool. I mean, side character wasn't super well developed, yeah. But I liked what they had. Was that the Harry Potter actor?
No,
he looked a lot
so.
Like Ron Weasley.
Do you get how he's able to fly by screaming?
Yeah.
No.
I think so.
I don't think it makes sense.
Well, okay, you're talking about people who can do supersonic things with their voice.
Okay.
It doesn't make sense.
All right. Havoc, which is Cyclops' brother in the comic continuity. I'm not sure if they're going to keep that here.
He had the same last name.
Yeah, so what did you think of him?
Yeah, he was cool.
So did you like his power? It was kind of like a hula hoop?
Yeah.
Like laser?
You know, a lot of these are the side characters that were interesting, but they didn't do a ton for me.
So the character Angel, who was a girl version of Angel.
Yeah.
I don't know if she exists in the comics because I know of a character named Angel and he's a guy.
Yeah.
So
in X3.
So did they just take the name and apply it to a character they made up, or what's happening
no
there?
No idea.
Interesting. Azrael, or whatever that red character's name is.
He's an okay villain. I mean, the main villain I loved was Sebastian Shaw.
Yeah, but, okay, Azrael, which he has Nightcrawler's power because, spoiler alert, in the comic continuity, he is Nightcrawler's father and the mother. Do you know who Nightcrawler's mom is?
I do not.
It is Raven, Mystique.
Ooh.
So, we might see
a
matchup.
That's how he gets blue.
Very, very good. So, but
Dad's superpowers, mom's blue.
I don't think I pronounced this right, but I'm just going to call him Azrael. His fighting was sweet. That transporting power
was
awesome. And he did exactly what makes sense. Touch a guy, transport him high above a building, let him go.
That was pretty cool.
That was awesome. Tornado guy, I have no idea who he is. I don't know if he really exists.
He really had no point in the movie except to make random tornadoes.
Yeah, I mean, literally, he didn't even talk?
I don't think
so. He just did this.
It looked pretty good doing it, but, you know, this is where you get the X-Men problem. That there's just too many characters.
More of a Taggart.
She was fine. I like Rose Byrne as an actress.
What's the guy's name that was cool who died early in the movie, but kind of like the bigger guy who was the leader of that covert CIA facility?
No idea.
I liked him. I like him as an actor. No idea who he is in real life, though.
Yep.
Okay. I have no other characters I can think of.
Okay.
Juggernaut. What'd you think of Juggernaut?
Who was Juggernaut?
No, he wasn't in it. Okay.
Yet another minor character was not well developed, I guess.
Yeah. So, overall, awesome.
Awesome. I cannot wait for the sequel.
Yes. So, I think it's safe to say, both of us would say, this is the best X-Men movie that has ever been made.
It might be the best Marvel movie yet.
When we drove home from our mission trip last week, we ranked our favorite Marvel movies. And previously, your number one was Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man 2. And I wouldn't necessarily put this above it yet. I want to process it and think about it and probably see it again before I'd make that final call. But initial reaction, I am leaning towards displacing Spider-Man 2.
Wow.
I love that movie.
Wow. And what was my number one? Do you remember?
I think X2 or Iron Man.
Yeah, one of those two. So I'd have to, like you said, I'd have to watch all of them again.
Oh, this is clearly better than X2.
Clearly better than X2. What about Iron Man?
Definitely.
I don't know.
Without question.
Iron Man was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Iron Man had such a predictable ending. I liked it, but when it got to the final battle, there was nothing great about that. It was just predictable Hollywood action.
If we're eliminating all these movies, we might be saying that this is the new best Marvel superhero movie that has been made ever.
Doesn't touch Dark Knight.
No.
Doesn't touch Batman Begins.
No.
Though I will say that for the X-Men movies, this reminded me of Batman Begins a lot.
Batman Begins is so good.
It is.
It's not even comparable in my
so
mind.
Those two are in another class all by themselves, but as far as the Marvel movies go, Spider-Man 2 might be my only one I might rank higher. I'd have to think about it more, but probably not.
Okay.
This was phenomenal.
Definitely good. So,
go see it.
Well,
now.
Hopefully you've seen it because we just spoiled the entire movie.
Yeah.
Were there any things that like we talked about how we learned how Beast turned blue, we learned how Professor X got paralyzed, were there any other callbacks or shows you how it happened, moments that you thought were interesting?
Probably. I can't. I'd have to go watch it again to figure them out. But first reaction, those were the big ones.
All right, everybody. Well, comment below. Let us know what your favorite moments were. Ben, I think that's all from here.
That is all from here.
I'm Anderson.
I am Ben DeBono.
We have the Sci-Fi Christians. Signing off.